One of the beautiful things about this feast that we celebrate today, besides the fact that it's on a Friday and we can eat meat, we can go and rejoice, have a steak, have a hamburger. But one of the other beautiful things about this feast day is it reminds us that it's not just me and Jesus. There's a whole community. There's this huge multitude that can't be counted. So many times the devil, his tricks, cursed be he, is to try to get us to feel like we're alone. We're the only ones. We're isolated. You know, everybody else is doing something else. And we're the only ones who are faithful. Is it really worth it? And there's multiple times in the scriptures where God says to Elijah or to whoever it is, I have many faithful people. You are not alone. And today's feast day reminds us that we are not alone. There are a huge multitude that are right there with us. I think each of the readings today tell us just in a different way something about our identity with the saints. So that second reading from the first letter of St. John talks about our identity. See, what love the Father has bestowed on us. By the love of the Father, we are called children of God. That's the identity of those who are in heaven. That's our identity too. Our identity as children of God began with baptism. You know, the communion, that is the communion of saints, is first and foremost, it's the communion between the Father and the Son. It's the Holy Spirit that binds them, that is the love between them. And in the second place, it's the communion between Christ and the church, between head and members. And thirdly, it's the communion between all the members as well. The Holy Spirit that binds us together, and that's a communion, a binding that's stronger than death. Which is why when my grandma was around, I could ask her to pray for me. And now that she's gone to God, I still ask her to pray for me. The church, the body of Christ, is one body. It stretches from the church militant here on earth, still fighting the battle against sin, to the church suffering in purgatory because they're being purified of the last remnant that clings to them of sin. To the church triumphant in heaven that we celebrate today, the victory of all the saints in Christ. But it's one church. It's one body of Christ. It's one communion of saints. By virtue of your baptism, when the Holy Spirit was poured into your soul and heart, holiness was poured in. You became a saint, even if it's just the beginning, the first stages, and we hope to join, to be completed with the saints in heaven as well. But that identity for all of us, heaven, purgatory, earth, is children of God. And if we're children of God, we're also brothers and sisters to each other, bound to each other, one communion. We don't go to God alone. We go to him as this communion of saints. In that first reading from the book of Revelation, we get this vision. So second reading talks about our identity. The second reading gives us a vision of relationship. How are we in relationship to God and one another in the communion of saints? And John has this vision where he sees, first of all, 144,000 here on earth with the seal of God on their foreheads. The seal is the Holy Spirit. Those marked by baptism, marked by the Holy Spirit. It's a symbolic number, right? All of those who are marked. But then he has this vision of a multitude that no one can count. From every nation, race, people, and tongue. That's the saints in heaven, where we are on the journey towards them. And he says that they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. So they're arrayed at the center of this vision. There's a throne, and the one on the throne, and the Lamb, who's almost like one with the one on the throne. And then there's angels and elders and the four living creatures, so they're symbolic of all of creation. And they're all arrayed in communion with God and therefore in communion with one another. And the angel speaks up and says, actually one of the elders speaks up and says, "Who are these wearing white robes? Where'd they come from?" And John, rightly so, he's very humble, "I don't know. My Lord, you're the one who knows." He says, "These are the ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, which is baptism, where the Holy Spirit comes in, and those white robes are the righteous deeds of all the saints. It's the working of God within us. I love to ask people to, in your prayer, give God permission to work within you so that the holiness of God is working in you, because my holiness won't stand up. So we get our identity, we get our relationships, God at the center, and the angels, and the saints, and the elders, and all creation. And then in the gospel, in the Beatitudes, Jesus talks to us about what's our interior life like? What's it mean to live out this identity and this communion of relationships? And he talks about 9 Beatitudes, each one blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed are the poor in spirit. And I think we have to remember not to forget the second half of all those Beatitudes. For theirs is the kingdom. For they will be comforted. For they will inherit. For they will be satisfied. They will be shown mercy. They will see God, called children of God. We're blessed already now. But our ultimate reward is mostly in the future. They will be comforted. But I think it's important to remember that last beatitude. Notice how the first 8 are all blessed are in the third person. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. It's like our identity in heaven. But the last one, blessed are you. We perk up. Right? Blessed are you. Wait, talking about me right now. Was my blessing, Lord. Blessed are you when they insult you. What? And persecute you. And utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. That's the blessings that we have right now. To us. Not to us in a perfected state in heaven, but to us right now. Why is that a blessing? Because the first one to be so blessed was Jesus himself, who was insulted and persecuted and had every kind of evil done to him falsely. Rejoice and be glad. The last thing that I would just encourage you to think about, to ponder on this day where we have this vision of the heavenly saints, is that reading in Revelation, whenever it's talking about heaven, it always talks about how there's this eternal song of praise, unending praise. And my first thought when I hear that is I would get worn out singing holy, holy, holy all day long, 24/7. But that's not what he means. When he talks about eternal praise, think about what we mean by praise. Just today, I went to lunch with some friends. We had a great lunch. It's a feast day, right? So you're supposed to feast. Had a great lunch. And throughout the lunch and afterwards, like, that was a great meal. That was great, great conversation. That was a great time and great company. We're praising. That was wonderful. I had such a great time. So when the scriptures talk about heaven, we get this vision of heaven as eternal praise. It's this vision of heaven as just one experience after another. That's great. That was wonderful. That food was wonderful. That company was great. I enjoyed your company even better than I did yesterday, and it was great yesterday. One praise after another, because God is at the center, and we are in communion as children of God, brothers and sisters, saints all.